Hello, America. This is the place for uncensored talk on everything that divides us as a nation. I'm Alan Jacoby, and welcome to The Great Divide. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Great Divide. I'm here today with someone very special, unbelievable resume, American patriot, Jan Morgan, who's running for Senate in Arkansas. Jan, thanks for being here with me. How are you?
Absolutely. Excited to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
Awesome. So you're running for Senate in Arkansas, and you're running in, looks like you're primarying as a John Bozeman, who's been there over 20 years and who's a typical rhino, hates Trump. Seems like one of these guys who just is there to line his pockets and roll with Democrats just to duck and weave so he can make his money and enrich himself. That's just what I get from following him.
Yeah, John Bozeman has been in U.S. Congress for 21 years, right? So I'm one of those people that even if he didn't have a horrendous record, it's time for him to step down. I believe in term limits. In fact, I signed a national term limits pledge. I will be there two terms if the people choose to put me there two terms. And that's it. That's the term limits pledge. I think that's more than enough time. And if he had signed that pledge, he could not run again. He would be out. I think the problem is these guys, maybe when they run for office, they are well-intentioned, but then they get there and they live there and they stay there. And when you're in D.C. for that length of time, I think you lose touch with the people in your district. And that's what's happened with him. He is so out of touch. His voting record reflects that. It's a failure. He has a failing grade from four different conservative outlets, including Mark Levin's. So even if he wasn't needing to term limit out, his voting record is enough. Plus, he blamed Donald Trump for January 6th. That was the day I decided to run against him, when he came out and blamed President Trump for what happened January 6th. And he went a step further. He didn't only blame him for January 6th. He said that Trump could be criminally prosecuted for his actions on January 6th. Now, look, I was there. I wasn't at the United States Capitol, but I was at the Ellipse where the president gave his speech. And I stood there with thousands upon thousands of other people and listened to the president speak. And then I went back to my hotel and watched everything unfold on TV. But I can tell you unequivocally that Donald Trump didn't say or do a single thing in his speech to justify being blamed for what happened that day.
No, and they want to go after him and everybody else who surrounds him, even people like you. And yeah, you look what they're doing to Steve Bannon and Roger Stone and all of these other people. In order to smear conservatives, to, I think, almost intimidate, it's like political thuggery, to intimidate other conservatives that, hey, maybe you should steer clear away from these people, because that's what the Democrats do, because their policies are horrible. So they seek and destroy and defame and smear their opposition out of pure fear, because they know they can't win any other way. So that's obviously their game plan with Donald Trump. But, you know,
well, what's happening in D.C. and it's happening across America, it's happening at our state capitol. And I've been in fights with these political thugs in suits. This is no longer, it's really no longer a war between Democrats and Republicans. It is a war between good and evil. The Democrat Party, there are some good people who have been lifelong Democrats, but their party has been hijacked by communists. I mean, absolute communists. So they don't even recognize their party. That's why so many of them have become independents or have moved over to the Republican Party. But likewise, just as dangerous, if not more so, are the people who call themselves Republicans, who ran as Republicans and misled the people, and then get into office and legislate like Democrats and even agree with some of these radicals who voted. For example, our U.S. congressmen, all of them but one, voted to accept Electoral College votes from those states where there were strong allegations of voter fraud. And all the people in Arkansas wanted was for our congressmen to stand up and exercise their constitutional right and say, you know what? There are some strong allegations here, and there is some evidence here that we need to take a look at. We're not going to be so quick to jump into this and just hand our country over to someone else. We need to investigate this further before we accept those votes. And they didn't do that, because the problem is you've got bad guys within our own party. They hate people like Donald Trump and people like me. They hate America First people because it messes up their swamp. It messes up their money flow. There is a lot of money at stake. Hundreds of millions of dollars at stake every time an America First candidate replaces a corrupt rhino. And on that note, you know, the senator that I'm trying to replace, while he's been in office, he's become one of the wealthiest senators in U.S. Congress somehow on a $174,000 a year salary. How do you do that?
It's amazing. And even you have, you know, Nancy Pelosi was asked about the stock trading among members of Congress. And she said, well, you know, there's no issue with it. It's a free market and everyone should be able to participate, which I mm-hmm. get. But
right.
We know the behind the scenes dealings. I'm really against members of Congress spending, whether they're Republican or Democrat, spending all of their time writing a book and then trying to sell it when they should be there governing, working for people like me. We didn't put them there to write a book and make millions of dollars on a book deal. We didn't put them there to just go walk around and appear places and speak behind a podium and talk this talk. No, we need aggressive conservatives that are willing to walk the walk, not be afraid to be disliked, not be afraid to not be friends with everyone in Congress. You're not there to make friends. You're there to work for the American people. And that's what we're lacking.
Yes, but I think, and I'm so encouraged about this, I truly believe that what we're going to see in this next election cycle is a wave of real citizens, everyday folks like you, like me, people from all walks of life stepping up and running for office. I think you're going to see a lot of mama bears. Women across this country are sick and tired of the way the Biden policies and the rhinos who've agreed with those policies are affecting their lives and their pocketbooks and their jobs. I mean, when you have to have a vaccine in order to go to work here in our state, we had a huge battle, a bloody battle at our state capitol over medical freedom. And I led, even though I'm not an elected official, I led a citizen activist group and led a medical freedom rally. And we really worked hard. We pulled about 500 to 700 citizens to our state capitol who got involved in that fight, who testified, who rallied our legislators. And it was tough because you had corporations, several large corporations in this state that really want to just snuff out small businesses. They want to just destroy those businesses because they want to take over this state. And those large corporations also happen to own our bought and paid for Republicans, some of our bought and paid for Republicans. And no matter what the issue is, those Republicans are going to answer to those major corporations instead of the people who elected them. Because Absolutely. They know it was that money, those donations from those major corporations that got them elected. Never mind the people they're supposed to be there representing.
Right.
Because of that, those major corporations also stepped outside of their own companies and said, if you do business with our business, Walmart is one of them. Walmart. Let me go ahead and name names here. Walmart is one of them, where they said, if you do business with our company, our vendors, you have to show proof of vaccinations of all of your employees. So that affects all of the smaller businesses. I mean, Walmart is huge in our state, and a lot of businesses depend on that business. So we've had much of that going on, and it was because of the rhinos that we were not able to stop private employers from requiring a vaccine. We were able to get a law passed here that prevents government agencies from requiring a vaccine. In other words, you can't, in any state-funded institutions like some of our hospitals that were going to require thousands and thousands of medical workers to get the vaccine who did not want to, they were going to make that a condition of employment. So we were able to stop that. We stopped that.
Good.
But we couldn't get the private employer issue passed because we had too many rhinos that just refused to back down. And because of that, we're going to have thousands upon thousands of people without jobs who are having to choose between a vaccine that they don't want to take and their job. And I'm not, I want to be very clear. I'm not an anti-vax person. I'm not against vaccines. I'm for the liberty to choose. This is America. We're a free country, and individual liberty should always trump corporate liberty. So that was the battle we had in our state, and we came close to winning, but it was the rhinos here that are the same problem we have in DC. We have rhino problem in DC. That's why Donald Trump can get all of the things done that he wanted to get done.
Right.
Because of the guy I'm running against.
The establishment, the deep state.
The establishment. Yes.
The establishment does not like to be disturbed.
Do you know the incumbent that I'm running against also? He voted to confirm Biden's nominee. He voted with Democrats to confirm Biden's nominee for UN ambassador, Linda Thomas Greenfield.
Ugh.
Now, even our other U.S. Senator, Tom Cotton, didn't vote for her. He voted against her confirmation. This is a woman who has publicly, it's on video, go look her up on YouTube. She has said publicly in speeches that she is racist. And she says that America's founding documents are weaved with white supremacy. She is an America-hating apologist. She's already
horrible.
Been an international embarrassment. Yes, she is. And he voted for her confirmation. Now, why would he do that? Why?
Go along to get along, the old saying, you know, go along to get along.
And that's why I need to go to D.C. I don't know about going along to get along. In fact, one of our legislators here, when we were in the middle of some of the fights we've had here, I texted him and I said, you know, you better vote the right way or I'm going to expose you on my social media pages. And he sent me a text back and he said, you know, you're not very good at making friends up here at the Capitol. And I said, I'm not there to make friends.
Nope. Not here.
I'm there to fight for the people. You do the right thing by the people. You do the right thing. You voting in line with the Republican Party platform and the Constitution and Bill of Rights, and you won't hear from me.
You know, you brought up about exposing people because if people don't know this about you, but you were an investigative journalist for a long time, and mm-hmm. you did the type of journalism work of exposing fraud, spending, abuse mm-hmm. for government agencies. As a matter of fact, a big one that you exposed and uncovered was Obama's DOJ with the tyrannical Gestapo raids from the IRS criminal division on conservative businesses, right?
Mm-hmm. It's called Rampant Injustice. Look it up on YouTube. That was... For anybody who wants to say, oh, women aren't tough enough, you'll bow down when you get up there. You don't understand how these guys are. Look, I'm the only candidate in this race, and I'm the only person in probably the United States Senate who would have the guts to take on the Criminal Investigation Division of the IRS and Eric Holder's Justice Department. But we did. We took it on because nobody else would touch the story. And once I put it together and put the documentary together, it went national and it went viral. What they were doing, Eric Holder's Justice Department was looking at conservative-owned businesses. They were targeting conservative-owned businesses and going into those businesses with paramilitary Gestapo-style raids, yes. violating the constitutional rights of the business owners, the employees inside, shutting them down, taking all their records so they couldn't run their businesses. And then they would turn around and say, you know, we're looking through all your records. We might charge you with this and this, but tell you what, if you'll pay us, you know, $100,000, $250,000, $1 million, depending on the size of the business. Right. We'll let this just go away. That's called extortion. I exposed that, and it came to a halt. It did.
Now imagine. Now I brought that story up for a reason because our current administration, mm-hmm. how they want to just about double
the size of the IRS.
And it's like. You know, they say history repeats itself. And when I'm reading that story about you exposing Obama's DOJ and with going after conservative businesses, you know, my firm belief is expanding the IRS with 80 something thousand IRS agents. They're going to target the middle class. I mark my words, they're going to come and they're going to target conservative owned businesses so they can do the same type of political intimidation and thuggery so they can pay for their ridiculous spending bills that they want to pass. And it just seems like that little story, it's a chance it could replay itself because of what they want to do with the IRS. They're not going after the rich. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. No. We know that.
I would even go a step further than what you're saying. I don't think it's a chance. I think it's an absolute. I think that things are going to get much, much worse in America than they already are. If people don't realize how bad it can get until right. it's going to be too late. People didn't realize in my own state that they could actually lose their jobs, that their employers would mandate that they inject something into their bodies that they didn't want to, that hasn't even had time to be proven safe yet. Right. There's no long-term. And even, you know, it has always been the backbone of public health policy for citizens to be able to give informed consent. You can't give informed consent when it hasn't been out long enough to see what the long-term effects are. And right now, nobody knows what the long-term effects of that vaccine are. And that's incontrovertible. So regardless of how you feel about even the short-term effects, the adverse reactions that have been publicized, highly publicized in conservative outlets, even if you didn't buy into those, because there is no data, there's no information, because it hasn't been out long enough to tell right. anyone what the long-term effects of this vaccine is, then that is justification in itself to not require people to take it. And that is, even in our state, I think people didn't believe that employers would actually stoop to the level of requiring it and saying, you do this or you're fired. We've seen people that have been working places 30 years, people that are in extreme high ranking positions within businesses, and they're just being told, you know, take the shot or you're out of here. We have nursing students in this state who are almost or close to graduating And when they started nursing school, this vaccine was not a part of the deal. It was COVID wasn't even in existence as far as their education was concerned. And then all of a sudden, here they are close to graduating and they have to do their clinicals. And they're being told, if you don't get the vaccine, you can't do your clinicals. You can't go into these hospitals. Well, there are healthcare facilities in the state that are not requiring the vaccine. But instead of working with these students and saying, okay, if you don't want to get the vaccine, since that wasn't part of the deal when you signed on to get your education with us, we're going to let you choose to do your clinicals at one of these facilities that doesn't require it so you don't have to. But that's not what they're doing. They're forcing these students to either get the vaccine, or not only do you have to drop out of nursing school, but you lose all of your credits. Right. You lose all of your, it's not like you can quit and then pick back up. You lose all of your credits. And you can't go through the nursing program in our state but two times. If you fail through the second time, you're out. You can't ever come back through. So there are students that are on their second round and they're like, if I don't get this shot, not only do I lose all the credits I've worked so hard to earn, I lose my career choice. I'm going to have to completely change careers because I can't. That is so unfair.
It can't
I even
be
talked
legal.
To a pregnant woman who's in nursing school. She's pregnant. She's 7 months pregnant. She said, I asked them, can I please wait until after my baby is delivered? Can I please wait until after I have this baby and then get the vaccine or then do my clinicals, whatever you decide to do, but please don't, I don't. But they told her, no, you get it or you're out of here.
Wow.
That's the mentality. And I think it's taken that kind of outrageous behavior from the far left in this state for people to realize they have to get involved politically. You can no longer sit on the sidelines. You can no longer be apolitical. You can no longer just say, well, somebody else will fight the fight. Christians are the largest group of people in America who bothered not to vote. They're having to get up and get away from that mentality of, well, you know, we're not going to be political. Yes, you don't have a choice because your religious liberty is now on the line.
Right.
Our religious liberty, all of our liberties, all of our constitutional rights, our very livelihoods, our economy being shut down. I mean, everything's at stake. Our country is at a turning point.
Absolutely. And the left is eating away at our liberties at any chance they get. I mean, I'm in tyrannical New York. I'm just outside of New York City.
Wow.
Literally right now in New York City. You believe it's starting on the 27th. You basically will not be able to work within the confines of New York City, private businesses, if you're not vaccinated. We're talking about the mom and pop stores to the corporations to the taxi drivers. If you're going to work in New York City, the private businesses, they're in for. Now they have a new mayor coming in. Who knows what the new mayor is going to keep? But this is de Blasio's way of out the door. He may have his eye on the governorship of New York, and it's unbelievable here with. You can't go to a restaurant in New York City without showing a vaccine pass. They just arrested people that went into an Applebee's and a Cheesecake Factory, refused to show the vaccine passports, and sat down in a protest trying to order food. They called the police, and the police arrested them all, put them all in handcuffs for trespassing, put them in police vehicles, and took them away. This is now it's like a police state.
It's called communism.
Communism, 100%.
It's called communism. Let's just call it what it is. I mean,
people
have been calling it socialism for way too long. Much of what's coming out of the Biden administration right now is straight out of Chapter 2 of the Communist Manifesto. I mean, it is. I don't care what anybody says, and some people don't like to say that word, especially in Republican circles. Oh, that's too harsh. That's too harsh. No, it's the truth. It's real.
It is. And what's real is not enough Republicans doing anything about it.
The spineless
Republicans.
You're right. You're exactly right. In fact, I was on a radio talk show recently, and the DJ asked me, he said, so Jen, you're just one person, just like this senator you're running against. He's one person. So if you were in DC right now, what would you be doing any differently than he has done? And I said, how much time do you have?
Right.
First of all, I would not have accepted electoral college votes from those states where there were strong allegations of voter fraud. I would have stood with Ted Cruz, Louis. I would have stood with our solid Republicans and said, "No, we're not going to take those votes. We're going to stand up and insist on election integrity." Okay.
Right.
Secondly, I would not have confirmed Linda Thomas Greenfield. I would not have blamed President Trump for January 6th. And right now, I wouldn't be calling for impeachment hearings against Joe Biden. I wouldn't be whining and complaining about what Joe Biden is doing. I would be calling for Joe Biden's arrest on charges charges of treason, on charges of treason for aiding and abetting an enemy invasion of our border, because that is exactly what's doing it. He's not only aiding and abetting people who are violating federal immigration law. He is aiding and abetting that, but he's also using our military, our National Guard. He's using our Border Patrol as accomplices to his treasonous behavior. And I can tell you, I've been down there, and those agents don't like it one bit. They're not happy about it one bit, and they're unarmed. They've got their firearms, but they have no ammunition. They have no ammunition. And furthermore, he is aiding and abetting a criminal enterprise to come into this country and take over. And I'm talking about the Mexican drug cartels. The cartels are in control of the people, a majority of the people who are coming over that border. I know this because I went down there and saw for myself. Let me tell you what the national media is not telling you. You should, if you haven't had the chance, you should look at the live video I shot. I went down there with another media person. We went rogue. We didn't go with police. We didn't go with a media escort. We went rogue. We went armed. We went prepared. We went down to the border. We had National Guardsmen telling us, you can't be here. You're going to have to leave. I mean, trying to get us to leave. When we got down to the river so we could actually show video and get video of these people in front of our own military. Right. Using our own military to help them get out of the water. Okay, they're loading these people up in these rafts. They're pushing them across the river, and our guardsmen are being used to help them get off of these rafts. Now, we showed you a conglomeration of people, hundreds of people who were being processed by our border agents at the border. They're not being sent to deportation centers. They're not being sent to detention centers. They were being processed right there like travel agents. Our borders were being used like travel agents. Yeah. We showed you. They were asking these people, these illegals, we showed all of this on video. Where were you headed to? And then they take these people, they give them papers to give them access to go to those states. There were four coming to my state just on the front row of the people we interviewed. They don't have to prove who they are. They don't have any identification. They don't have any COVID vaccine status shots. They don't have any health papers. They don't even have any driver's license. They have nothing. They come over here. They can't speak English, but they can say just enough because they've been told what to say. They're going to go to Arkansas. I want to go to New Jersey. We showed all these people where they were going to what states. And they're processing them, giving them money, more money than our veterans, our disabled and our homeless veterans are getting. They give them money. They get free health care. They get free education. They get free smartphones. They give them their travel tickets, whether they're getting on planes. I had to board a plane. I paid for my ticket while the person I was sitting next to got a free ride on my dime. They're just processing these people through. But those are the people that you got to see in the light that we showed you. But we also went in the dark and showed you and let you listen firsthand. You could hear all of the people the cartels were smuggling in the dark. Those other people in the light were a distraction while they were sneaking over the border, the really bad guys, the guys that there's not going to be any records of them anywhere. So when our government tells you there are over 2 million people that have crossed over our border, you can bet that there's twice that number. Those are the people they know about. We showed you there's a bunch of people that aren't being processed. They're sneaking in. And our National Guard, you'll hear them on the live video with me. They're saying, you can't be here. The press can't be here. And I said, I'm not with the press. And he said, well, you can't be here. And I said, so let me get this straight. You're going to try to get me to leave right now. You're going to try to usher me away from the river. Went right there at 25 yards away. You've got illegals coming across. I'm a United States citizen. Those people are illegals. And you're worried about me? No, sir, I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying right here. And I'm going to get this on video. And of course, we did. All that was live. We shot all of that live. People can watch that. If you go to my Facebook page and scroll down my page, you'll see it.
Is it on your Senate page, your Senate Facebook page?
I think we're about to put it on my website, but it's on my Facebook. Yeah. It's on all of my Facebook pages.
I'm gonna put everything in the show notes. I definitely want to check that out.
Yeah, you got to scroll down because we start out going through the city, driving through the city to show you what these Mexican drug cartels do to American cities. They take over the cities. Okay, all along the border, they've taken over the cities. The windows are boarded up. It looks like a third world country. Some of those cities along the border, and I'm just trying to warn Americans that this is a problem you have to be concerned about because those cartels are coming into America. They're going to take over American cities and we're going to start looking like the very country that these people fled from. Yes. All right. So I'm for legal immigration, not against immigrants. I'm for legal immigration. And yes, we do need immigration reform. The process to become an American citizen is ridiculous. But until that happens, we still have a legal way for people to come here. And we are a nation of law and order. And we must adhere to that. Otherwise, we are going to become the next Venezuela.
And what's really sad is we spent all of that money to build that big, beautiful wall that was being constructed. And then it's just all the materials are out there just rusting away and not being used. And it's paid for. It's paid for. And it's just, I hope and I pray that one day that wall is complete and the border security is taken seriously. I mean, like you said, they're busing them. They're flying them. They had some land near me in Westchester. And, you know, they're also sending a hell of a lot of them to red states. You know, to me, sure. This is the largest Democrat voting. Just they want to fatten up the voting rolls. That's all they want to do. This is the voting, the biggest voting drive of the century of American history for Democrats. So load them all up, get them driver's license, get them all registered as Democrats.
In spite of the fact that there will be Democrats out there that don't believe what you're saying, let me tell you a fact, okay? Here in my state, we had to come up with a law prohibiting sanctuary cities. I was in the middle of that fight, too, to get that to happen, because we found out that in the city of Little Rock, which is our capital city, that city had handed out over 1,100 valid state-issued photo IDs to illegals. Now, what can you do with a state-issued photo ID? Why are we handing out state-issued photo IDs to illegals? Well, because then what can you do with that? You can access entitlements, government entitlements. You can access all the other things. And of course, you can eventually get your driver's license and vote. So that's why it's a process. And they know that. And that's why they're doing it. And for us to turn our backs and turn our heads and say, oh, you know, these poor people coming over the border. No, this is not going to be a Democrat voting rate. These people just want to come here and work. And who's going to pick our avocados in California? Who's going to do this? Who's going to work in those? Look, America, we have a lot of problems. This is only going to complicate. It's going to be like an avalanche. We are going to start. We're already seeing the effects in some of the cities closest to the border. We're starting to see an increase in crime across America, violent crimes. You're going to see more of that. And why? It's not because every single person who comes over the border is a criminal and intent on committing violent crimes in America. Mm-hmm. There are some people who truly are trying to seek refuge from an insane. I do understand that. Some of the families but we have a legal way for them to do that, all right?
Yes.
But there are also people coming over here with children who are using them for human trafficking. They look like families, but they're using them for human trafficking. We have proven, there's proof of that. That's not something I'm just making up. No. And human trafficking has become a huge problem in this country.
Yes.
Our state here, and specifically this city, is a hub for human trafficking. So some of the children, we even interviewed a little girl in one of our lives. If you watch my video long enough, you'll see a little girl who's with a man who said, we asked who's this, and he said it was his daughter. And the little girl was terrified. She couldn't speak. She wouldn't speak. And you said, so this, you're her daddy. Where's her mother? Well, her mother had to stay back. Well, why? And the more we talked to him, the more we realized this man is not her father.
No.
What is he bringing her into this country for? And people in that live feed, when I was rolling live on that, people in that live feed were getting irate with me. They said, why don't you do something? Take her. Well, I could see me being arrested for kidnapping.
Right.
You know, me being arrested for kidnapping doesn't leave me on the ground to fight another day for Americans.
No.
And we have a big fight that I need to stay in the middle of. But there was so much that we exposed in that people just aren't being told the truth about regarding what's happening at our border. And none of the people I'm running against have been to our border. None of them have been to our border and shown anything.
They don't care.
Yeah.
They couldn't
find a clearer line of distinction between me and the incumbent. The incumbent is he took a huge donation from Pfizer, and then he turns around and starts pushing a shots in arms tour. He pushed vaccines on citizens of this state rather than pushing liberty. Okay. I'm pushing liberty. I'm pushing the right to choose whether or not you want it. And getting rid of the censorship issues that we've had, where when people try to share information, if it's not the narrative that the mainstream media wants shared, it gets shadow banned, like on social media, on Twitter. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Yeah. People need, you can't make an educated decision if you can't access information from all the sources. And that's been a huge problem as well.
This is another huge problem with you just said it, the corruption with the corporations, especially Big Pharma. For any candidate, Republican or Democrat, to take any donation from any one of these three companies that are heavily invested in these vaccines is alone should be a crime. I mean, you take Pfizer with the mainstream media, they sponsor everything. And I wanted to point out something else when we were talking about vaccines earlier about not being around long enough to have trials and see what's going on. Mm-hmm. Just recently, I believe, as we're sitting here recording, the CDC had a panel that I believe voted 15-0 to say the J&J shot should not be used right now, and you should only use Moderna and Pfizer because it looks like it's causing blood clots in certain age groups. Mm-hmm. That literally just happened. And that just proves the point that you're saying, well, none of these have been around enough for us to be mandated to take them. And it's scary because I do know people that have been vaccinated that are experiencing things that they weren't experiencing before they were vaccinated. And it's a problem.
Same here.
You know, and the money, follow the money situation is if all I need to know about the vaccines, I learned when they said that the companies, Pfizer, Moderna, J&J, could not be held liable civilly if anything happened to anyone who took the vaccines. Right there, that told me, you know what? It's not for me. And I wish so many people would realize that and stop eating what CNN and MSNBC and Harris and Biden are just shoving down their throats, you know?
The misinformation campaign that has been happening in this country, in my view, is criminal.
Yeah.
It's criminal.
Absolutely. Censorship is criminal.
Yes.
If it doesn't go with the narrative.
No, right. And withholding information. I know for a fact, because I have relatives and friends that work in the medical profession, that work in hospitals, that work in clinics, and they're telling me that, for example, in their hospitals, that there is no data. There is no mandate for data tracking on people who come into the ER with blood clots, with strokes, with myocarditis, with all these other issues that have been connected to or have been referenced to possible side effects of that vaccine. And mm-hmm. rather than tracking it, they just treat the symptom. And we will never have clear data on the truth about this vaccine because of that. And so when people say, just, you know, follow the science. Well, science is all about data and keeping records of experimenting and keeping records of so why are we not keeping records? Because when the records don't reflect what the bad guys in government want it to reflect, then they don't want those records to happen. So, you know, this is all part of when you have bought and paid for career politicians, this is what you can expect to happen.
Yes.
And when you allow, for example, in my race, I'm running against an incumbent who's got quite a bit of money already in his campaign coffers.
Right.
Then another guy that they put in the race, the swamp put in the race because they were afraid I was going to beat the opponent. They were afraid I was going to beat the opponent because he's polling bad. His polling numbers are horrendous. He's Talk Business Politics poll that came out several months ago said that he had a 31% approval rating. His rating in Arkansas was lower than Joe Biden's rating in Arkansas, which is unbelievable. He had a disapproval rating of 38%. And the rest of the people in the state said, who is that? They didn't even know who he was. That's how detached he is from the electorate here. So there is that issue. And so the swamp threw this other guy in the race, and he's a Manchurian candidate. I mean, he just is. And so he hasn't been able to gain traction. He's gotten a lot of media time because he does pay to play media stuff. But he talks a big talk. He talks about getting in the fight. He was an NFL guy, although he describes himself as a Super Bowl champion, or the media describes him as a Super Bowl champion, even though he never played a single down. He was in the military, but only long enough to have a brief time to have a record there. And I'm not marginalizing his experience in the military. I appreciate anyone and everyone who serves in our military. But my point is this, I am the only candidate in this race who actually has a proven record of successfully outmaneuvering the Biden administration to get laws passed in Arkansas to protect Arkansans from federal unconstitutional overreach. This guy that they threw in my race, he always talks a big talk. I'm going to fight. We need a fighter in D.C. and we got to have somebody fight. Well, okay, so where have you been, Jake, the past 2 years at the state capitol? When you've been here in Little Rock, you've been here. You've been in the state. When we've been in some of the most brutal battles for liberty, for the very issues that you say you want to fight for, where have you been? You've been missing in action. You know what missing in action is. If you've been in the military, you know what missing in action is. Where have you been? Stop talking the talk. Show us what you've got. You're not ready for this. You're 32 years old. You need to get to the state capitol. You have no idea how to fight this fight. This, when you look at defeating the enemy, you have to name the enemy. The enemy here is not another football team where you can tackle players on the football field. The enemy here is not another country of soldiers where you can, you know, it's not a military firearms engagement. The enemy here are political thugs in suits. He has zero experience fighting political thugs in suits. And my other opponent, the incumbent, of course, we see what his record is fighting thugs in suits. And on that note, he refuses to debate me. He will not debate me. He will. Every single day, I have challenged him to debate. I call for him to debate me. The Republican Party of Arkansas should demand a statewide televised debate for some of these statewide races because, you know, if he's so proud of his record, he should be able to defend it.
I mean, for 21 years, he should be able to defend it.
He should be able to defend it. He should.
You know?
So it's going to be an uphill battle, and they're hoping that this other candidate that they've put in the race will be enough to take votes from me, but I think he may take votes from Bozeman as well. And so we'll see what happens here. It's going to be interesting, but I'm the one that's been in the middle of this fight, and the people of Arkansas know it. They know it. I'm not going to have the campaign coffers because I don't have the big people with big money know I can't be bought. They know I can't be bought. That's why I'm in this race.
You have to rely on, you know, middle class America to back you with donations and support. Yes. And I mean,
guy in New Jersey won his race on $153. Of course, he was running a Senate district. I'm running for U.S. Senate, which means I've got a statewide area to cover. Yes. It's a much bigger money thing. But I need to call that guy and say, what did you do?
That still tells you, what's possible. I mean, that's
with
really
God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. I'm a Christian, and I never step into any path. I never start down a path without praying heavily about it and saying, God, is this, you know, I don't want to be where you don't want me to be. Is this your will for my life? If it isn't, you know, give me a sense of peace about this. If I need to do this, let me know. Closed doors that need to be closed. And if I don't win this race, then that's God's will for my life. And I will be comfortable with that. But I do know I'm supposed to be in it. I know I'm supposed to run this race. And maybe it's for nothing else than to expose the truth, to get out here. This gives me a platform to do that. But I will tell you this. I ran for governor in our state. I jumped in a governor's race with only 5 months to run. 5 months to run a statewide governor's race. I'd never run for office before, ever, any kind of office, not even city council. And in a statewide race with no money, no professional campaign staff, no nothing except a few grassroots volunteers, we got 31% of the vote.
Wow.
We got 63,000 votes. The incumbent got 145,000 votes. That was running against a career politician who had, you know, an endless supply of funds and a lengthy, his whole adult life, he's been in office. So we even before we started this race, we ended a governor's race with 30% of the vote. And since then, I've been working for the people, and I've been in the middle of this, so many fights at the state capitol, and the people are waking up to that and seeing who's really fighting for them. So I think we're entering this race. We entered this race, I would venture to say, probably with 41%. I would like to say another 10 percentage points. And if that's the case, and the other three guys that I'm having to split the votes with, I think that puts us in a pretty good position. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. And you listen, you have a great platform. I was looking at it. Your big Second Amendment. I mean, I was looking at you. You've trained over 40,000 Americans in self-defense with firearms.
Right.
You're pro-life. You are pro-immigration, immigration reform. You want to do something with the economy, which we need. The economy right now is what's going to happen. You know,
well,
what's
let me explain it this way. It's really not about me.
Sure.
It's about my commitment to the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the Republican Party platform. What we need to get past is electing personalities.
Yes.
Although every person is an individual, and I have my individual views about issues, when I run for office as a Republican, I have committed to legislating along with the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the Republican Party platform. Our platform is very specific. It clearly outlines what it means to be a Republican. And when I say I'm running as a Republican, regardless of my personal feelings, I must always legislate in conjunction with what this platform says, which is power. We believe in the power of faith in God. We believe in limited government, lower taxes, cutting spending, the Second Amendment, pro-life, personal accountability and responsibility. We believe in the law of being transparent. I mean, our platform is bullet points. It's very specific. And what I tell these rhinos at our state capitol is this. Look, when I confront them because they're about to vote the wrong way on an issue that's in conflict with the party platform, I say, excuse me, you're about to vote the wrong way on this bill that prohibits sanctuary cities in our state. We need you to vote for this bill. We need a bill prohibiting sanctuary cities in Arkansas. Otherwise, we're going to be the next California. And I've heard things from Republicans like, well, you know, the governor doesn't want us to do this. Or, well, I have a Latino in my family. I said, this isn't about you. It's not about the governor. It's about the people that you ran to represent, and you ran as a Republican, and it's what this platform says that you're going to be and how you're going to legislate. So you don't get an option on that. We're about the law of the land, and illegal immigration is illegal. It violates federal immigration law. So you're gonna have to vote the right way. And until people understand that it's not about them personal and get out of themselves and remember that we are servants of the people, we are elected to serve the people. We're not over the people. We are serving the people. And until we get that servant mentality back in our government should fear the people. They should fear the wrath of the people. It should not be the other way around. And right now we're in a stage in America where Americans are fearing what is our government going to do to us next. That is upside down. That is not what our founding fathers intended, and we must change that. And the only way we're going to change it is for good, regular folks across America from all walks of life, from very diverse backgrounds, to run for office.
You got it. Jan Morgan for Congress in Arkansas. If I was there, you'd have my vote.
Thank you. Well, you know what? We need people across America to donate to my campaign because you, regardless, the fact that you live in New York, you benefit from another conservative being in the United States Senate, because every single rhino in D.C. who votes the wrong way, then that affects everyone in America. So we all have something at stake by getting conservatives in our U.S. Senate. And I definitely will be fighting for the people across America.
I always, and that's great. I always say that if you're in a state, like, again, I'm in a blue state, and you know, first of all, Republicans in New York, hey, most of them are establishment. They're useless, and they get beat by Democrats. I tell people, if you're stuck in that situation, and you have to look abroad into other states and to see the races and people like you who are running, who are America First candidates, who are aggressive and want to fight, and donate to campaigns like yours. Like I've donated to out of state, plenty of out of state campaigns for that.
I'll be looking for a donation from you. I'm going to be checking.
You're going to get one. You're going to get one. I get the checkbook. You're going to get one. All right. You shook me down.
There you go. I've cornered you. I confronted you. Hey, I'm getting better. It's hard. It's hard for me to ask for money from people. It really is, because I know what with everything being the way it is in America right now, people are just, they're scared. A lot of people's jobs are on the line. So I understand that. And that's another issue that I would like to tackle. We need to get past this whole thing, this narrative that you have to have millions of dollars to run for office. That cuts out a lot of good people from running, because I didn't have a national format, if I wasn't already a national speaker and have a national following, I don't know how I would reach enough people to raise money, because the thugs in government and the wealthy economic elites, these people that want to control their politicians, they aren't going to support my campaign.
Listen,
because they know they can't control me. I'm going to vote in line with this platform. So I'm not going to make you any promises other than what you already see on my website. It says the Republican Party platform, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. That's it.
Yeah. And again, you know, it's interesting because this is actually the first year it's happened to me where I get mail now from out-of-state candidates. Like today, I got in the mail a letter from asking for a donation from Wendy Rogers in Arizona. And I took the return envelope and I put my business card in it and said, hey, let Wendy know I'll give her a donation to come on my show and talk about her campaign first.
Right. Let me vet her first. Yes. You know, the problem is these letters that a lot of these candidates are sending out, and I'm not saying her, I don't know anything about her, but a lot of these letters, they talk a good talk. Just like the candidates when they're running for office, they talk the talk. Everybody, but talk is cheap. Show me what you can do or what you've done. And in this race, I'm the only one that's done the right thing by the people. I'm the only one. Everybody else is either talking big or voted the wrong way. So I'm just hoping people will take the time to get educated. And it is hard. It takes time to start vetting the candidates, to start looking at them and asking the tough questions. But, you know, and when your Republican Party doesn't demand that there is a statewide televised debate, that makes it even more difficult because, you know, the big guys with a lot of money are going to buy a lot of TV ad time. I won't be able to do that. So, right. You know, it's going to be a tough road, but with God, all things are possible. And if it's meant to be, it will be.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we wrap up, I want to ask, wanted to ask you, what's your take on 2024, the big election? What do you think Donald Trump's going to run again?
You know, I would never try to second guess Donald Trump. I was the national spokesperson of Citizens for Trump. That's the largest grassroots citizens organization in America that fought for him. And that's why you saw me many times on Fox, yes, and on different networks fighting for him as a candidate and then fighting for him after he won his presidency. But, a lot can happen. And who knows what's going to happen in this country between now and then. I wouldn't want to even venture and guess because I like to be right.
Yeah, me too. I'm hoping I'm right in what I think, and I'm hoping I'm right in what I think with the 2022 midterms. I do have unfortunately the concern of election integrity in the coming elections because of what's going on and all the nonsense behind the scenes. So, you know, we could all just hope and
it's going to come down to the
pray.
States. It comes down to the states. You know, we don't want to federalize elections. I don't want to federalize elections. But the people of the states have got to stand up and fight back. And even if we completely control and have election integrity in our state of Arkansas, our votes are disenfranchised when the state next to us or other states completely just have no integrity and just allow complete voter fraud. We have a vested interest in every state, and we have to care enough that we pay attention to what's happening in other states. And that's why we wanted our Republicans to stand up and say, wait, there are some strong allegations of fraud in some of these states, and we need to look at that. We need to step back and look at it. And they didn't. And some of our Republicans even voted for a federal vaccine database to fund that federal vaccine database. You know, 130 Republicans voted against that. But 80 Republicans voted for it, and four of ours voted for it.
It's insanity, and I want to look more into that. Dan Crenshaw had said a few things. I'm really not happy with Dan Crenshaw. I was trying to give him a chance.
Dan Crenshaw was on the wrong side of the issue on that affected our. Basically supporting red flag laws until we shut him down on that, and he kind of backtracked on that. But our congressman, our U.S. Senator Tom Cotton, supported that bill. That bill the last time that would have allowed red flag laws in our country. And a lot of guys that are too detached from the truth don't understand red flag laws. That isn't just a gun rights issue. Red flag laws trample your First, Second, Fourth, Fifth, Sixth, and Eighth Amendment rights. They're outrageous. They completely turn our due process, our Constitution, on its head. Your right to a fair trial, your right to being innocent before proven guilty. They make you guilty, and you have to prove yourself innocent. I mean, it's just there. It eliminates your chance of free speech, because if you say the wrong thing, then your neighbor can call on you and say this person is crazy, and they take your guns, and then you have to prove you're not crazy. You have to get a lawyer, and you have to spend money, and you have to go to court, and you have to be analyzed. Meanwhile, you're without your firearms because you're guilty because someone said so. That is such a dangerous precedent, and the fact that any elected official, much less any Republican, would support that is extremely alarming to me, and it tells me that we've got a lot of educating to do.
Absolutely. And I think with that, when it went to Senate committees, I believe that red flag law provision, everything that had to do with it was stripped out of
the
bill.
Yes.
I was very, very happy to hear
but
that.
Not before we raised Cain about it. I mean, we had to pitch a fit about it. And this whole thing, and I know you're talking about Crenshaw on the federal vaccine database deal.
Yeah.
The point is, even if, because I'm hearing all kinds of stories. I mean, these guys that vote the wrong way, they come up with all kinds of excuses and these long worded responses to why they voted the way they did. But 130 Republicans said, no, we're not going to vote for that. So why did they get it, but you didn't? That's my first question. My second question is, as a Republican, regardless of the details of what exactly that bill would do, that legislation would do, it does increase the size and scope of government over our lives. Republican platform is about limited government. It is a specific platform issue in our platform. You should not be voting on anything that increases the size and scope of our government if you are a Republican. We're supposed to be looking for ways to cut regulatory burdens off businesses. We're supposed to be looking for ways to cut the laws, the number of laws on the books in this country. Every session in Arkansas, we end up passing another 1,100, you know, over 1,000 new laws on the people. I don't want a Republican, my representatives, to come back to my district and say, well, when I was, this past session, I got this bill and this bill and this bill passed. I don't want to hear that. What I want to hear from you is, how many laws did you get repealed off the backs of the citizens? How unnecessary, how many unconstitutional laws did you take off the books?
Right.
Off the books and off the backs of the people. How many taxes did you cut? Not play shell games. What they do in our state, they'll, in order to say they cut taxes here, they'll raise taxes over here in another area. So they just move it around. It's a shell game. And the people buy it because they don't have time to sit there and watch over these guys.
They don't know
I've made time. I go up there and I sit and I watch and then I raise Cain and then I inform the people. And that's exactly what I'll do in D.C. You send me to D.C., there's not going to be any hiding. I'm going to do in D.C. what I've done in Arkansas. And what I do, like on the sanctuary city, we had trouble getting that sanctuary city bill passed where it would prohibit any sanctuary city policies in our state because we knew this flood was coming. So what we do is we put teeth in that. We said, if your city engages in any sanctuary city policies, we're going to strip you of your state funding. That's what we did with that bill. But we couldn't get it passed until I exposed the Republicans. I put their faces, their cell phone numbers, and their email addresses on my Facebook page. And I said, hey, Arkansas, you want to become the next California? You want to become the next sanctuary state? You want tent cities in our streets? If you do not, you need to contact these Republicans because they voted the wrong way on this bill. We're going to put this bill back out there tomorrow. You need to let them know how you feel about this. They were inundated with so many phone calls and emails. They called the sponsor of the bill and said, please put this bill back on the floor. I'll vote for this. I want these people off my back. See, the people don't realize the power they have if they'll just pay attention and make the phone call, send the email. But they've got to have people like me up there exposing what's going on because they didn't know. Right. Nobody's telling them this. The media hides this stuff.
So, yeah, oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So that's what I will do in D.C. I'll expose the bad guys. We'll show them and we'll get the people involved in this process where they should have been all along.
Good. We're not sending you there to make friends. We're sending you there to fight for the American people.
That's right. I'm a warrior through and through. I'm
convinced, Jan. I'm convinced. Where can everybody find you to donate, volunteer, help, and read about you? Where can everybody find you?
JanForSenate.com. If you type in Jan Morgan for USSenate.com, you'll find it either way. If you go to my Facebook page, it's just Jan Morgan. It's a verified page. And then I have a Jan Morgan for Arkansas. And then I have a Jan Morgan public figure page. There's all kinds of Jan Morgan pages, but they're all verified. So if they got the blue check mark, that's mine. Twitter, I don't do much on Twitter because Twitter has shadow banned me. They found me out to be a Trump person. And so they just started cutting me down. I can hardly ever, my posts are hidden in the feed. I try to post every now and then, but it's very difficult. So
Twitter's horrible. All right. So it's JanMorganForSenate.com. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And you're hopefully
going to
be-
Facebook page is just Jan Morgan. Yes. So I hope to see you in DC, but you know what? Regardless, I'm going to continue fighting for the people. I just need a voice at the table. I need a seat at the table. I can fight a lot more aggressively if I have a seat at the table.
And hopefully you get it. Jan, I really appreciate you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I'll come back anytime. Sometimes you just need to have me on to talk gun stuff. We need to just talk gun stuff, women and firearms, people and firearms. Because there's a lot going on that front, especially since the Rittenhouse thing. I would love to just come on and talk about training.
Done.
And let's do it. Because there's a lot more to training than just tactical stuff. You got to do the mental stuff. You got to do the mental prep.
We're going to set it up. My people will call your people and we'll schedule
it. Let's do it. Look forward to it. Thank you.
No problem. All right, everybody out there, go get this. This episode and all the other ones over at thegreatdivide1776.com. Check out Jan Morgan. She's running for Senate in Arkansas. JanMorganForSenate.com. Everybody out there, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and most of all, God bless America. You take care. You can reach out to me with opinions and ideas for other episodes at TheGreatDivide1776@gmail.com. You can also find me on social media at The Great Divide Podcast. And please be sure to leave a review for this podcast so the show can be shared to other listeners. Thank you, and God bless America.